The meeting will now come to order. Will everyone please stand? We'll pledge allegiance to the flag. And please remain standing as the invocation will be given by Joe Duran, City Ministry Network.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Father, we begin this morning with thanks. Thanks for this amazing county that we live in and what it represents and how we are able to actually live in this place. We want to thank you for this beautiful day. We walked out and get to see just your creation as it stands before us. Especially, Lord, I want to pray for a blessing on the County Board of Supervisors and all the servant leaders that represent the concerns of our precious citizens. And also want to pray that you would protect their families, Lord, in all their endeavors and everything that they do. We pray for wisdom today, wisdom for any decisions that need to be made. And we pray that these proceedings would be held in a spirit of mutual respect and civility. And we finally thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you bestow on us on a daily basis as we celebrate, as we are citizens of this county, this beautiful county that you have placed us in. We thank you, Master. Amen.
Thank you very much. We now will go into a presentation, public service awards. Stan Risen, please.
All right. Well, we have a number of employee service awards this morning, and it's my pleasure to introduce the first one, and it's for 30 years of service, and it's to our assessor, Don Gakel. Mr. Gakel began his career in Stanislaus County on May 1st, 1986 in the assessor's office, starting as an appraiser one. From the very beginning, he demonstrated a strong work ethic and received promotions all the way through the ranks of appraiser one, two, three, supervising appraiser, and then assistant assessor of valuation in December of 2011. His strong business experience and hard work culminated in his appointment as Stanislaus County Assessor on October 19, 2013 by this board, and then he was elected by the electorate as County Assessor in 2014. During his tenure in the Assessor's Office, Don's experience has spanned across several internal divisions, including the Commercial Industrial Appraisal Division, where he spent a majority of his time, but also the Residential Property Appraisal Division, Business Property, and Policy Creation and Assessment Appeals. Don has a strong resume of experience, education, and service to the community as well. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree from Colorado State University and an Advanced Appraiser Certificate from the California State Board of Equalization. Don is currently president of the Modesto Gateway Rotary Club. He's a member of the Latino Community Roundtable and a past board member of the Community Hospice Foundation. Don continues to support Community Hospice and other organizations by volunteering at various functions. In Don's spare time, he enjoys golfing, traveling, and spending time with family and friends. Don's also an avid baseball fan, attending Oakland A's, San Francisco Giants, and Modesto Nuts baseball games. It was my privilege to work with Don a number of years in the assessor's office. He was hired about a year before I was, and we worked together. I think I was down there 12 years. And I've always appreciated Don's even temperament, his professionalism, his humor. He really has been a dedicated employee of this organization, and always been a pleasure to work with. He gets a little nervous when he sees me this time of year because I'm trying to pin him down on how much of a role increase to expect. And he's always been good about working with us to try to come up with estimates as we prepare a budget, because property taxes are so critical to the funding of this organization. So, Don, it's a real pleasure today for the board to recognize you on 30 years of service. We appreciate your commitment to excellence, and it's been my personal honor to work with you all these years. So if you would come up, I think the chairman would like to present you with an award.
there, Don. First of all, I want to say thank you for all your service. And as time goes on, people forget how much fun they have over 30 years. And I hope you've enjoyed it. But we do wish you the best of success as you continue on. And it is my pleasure to present this certificate to you on behalf of the county. And would you care to say a few words?
I would. You have to be careful about giving me a mic, but I want to thank the organization for hiring back in 1986. I found myself in the unique position of needing a job, and I started with a great group of people. And it's interesting, you started at that time, you moved on to upstairs, but we have a tremendous number of people who were hired around that same time, who have stayed with the office and formed the backbone of the office today. So we appreciate that. And we're all here because of the great hiring decisions the office made before we got here. And there were some great mentors and managers who helped us become leaders in the office. And so we appreciate them. And if you want to know why I stayed with the county, in large part because of the great people I work with. And so it's been a great 30 years, and I look forward to many more. All right.
Thank you once again. We now will go on to honor 25 years of service, and we'll start with Jamie Eggers.
Good morning, Chairman Monteith, board members, CEO Risen, County Council Doering, Jamie Eggers, Director of Environmental Resources. It's my pleasure to introduce to you and help celebrate this morning Ali Arshad with our staff. This is Ali's 25th anniversary with the county. I'm dating myself because I remember when we hired Ali, that was in February of 1991, and he was hired as a Hazardous Materials Specialist 1. He promoted through the ranks to a Hazardous Materials Specialist 3 in June of 2000. Ali holds a bachelor's degree in biology, a master's in business administration certificate, and a master's in public relations. Ali has conducted many inspections in our hazardous materials programs over the years, particularly in the program area we refer to as CUPA, or Certified Unified Program Agency Programs, also medical waste, and he's an active member of our after-hours response team. Ali is well known for assisting his coworkers in their assigned districts in addition to handling his own area, and he understands that the flexibility is necessary in this profession, and he's often volunteered to assume the responsibilities of vacant districts as well. Ali's attitude and professionalism toward our regulated community has always been top-notch. He shows a sincere interest in understanding customers' needs, and he gives a high priority to customer satisfaction. Ali has also been instrumental in implementing the new California electronic reporting system and helping our businesses with that. He serves on many committees, such as our internal Employee Excellence Enterprise. We call it the EEE Committee. It's kind of a group that supports camaraderie among our ranks. He's also a part of the Hazardous Waste Advisory Committee and our Safety Committee. Ali serves on the county-sponsored mentoring program, where he volunteers to help children in need. Other things that Ali has participated in over the years include our annual Earth Day booth at the Earth Day celebration. He helps present at our annual Chemical Safety Day, and he has spoken at the Latino Emergency Council regarding our emergency response capabilities. Ali is a very generous person from both a financial standpoint and a humanitarian standpoint. He has given so much over the years, yet he asks little in return for his generosity. Ali is more special to us than we can find the words to express. Ali, we'd like to congratulate you on your 25 years of service, and thank you for all you do and for the many years of dedication to environmental resources. You've contributed significantly to our department's success, particularly in the Hazardous Materials Division. Thank you.
Would you care to come up, please?
Congratulations. Ollie, on behalf of Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors, we want to thank you for all of your contributions. Your profession, being in the environmental community, is a challenge. There's never an end to it. And we appreciate people like yourselves who are willing to take that challenge and have the expertise. And so we once again want to thank you for all your contributions. And it's my pleasure to present you with this certificate of 25 years of service. And it's my pleasure to hand this over to you, because I'm sure you have some words of wisdom.
Yes, I do. Actually, I prepared a long, long speech, but everybody has to go back to work. First, I would like to thank the board for sure. Very good leadership, good vision, and we are very proud to have you as our leaders. And of course, I would like to thank Jamie Hager, our director. Very good role model. And a very good encouragement. And I would like to thank my hazmat gang, our manager, Brunia, all my co-workers, and also the emergency response. But we do a lot of responses with them, all the law enforcement, sheriff, police, fires, all of them. Thank you everybody very, very much. You have been an inspiration for me. And then I also like to thank our environment in our county. We have a very educational environment, very, very good learning experience. I really cannot, would not do anything else for the last 25 years what I did. Very good education, very good training, and of course the community, very, very good community. I mean, it kind of sounds funny, but most of my compliance, people happily comply when I go talk to them and kind of put my hand on their back, they're more than willing to comply. So we have a very good community, we have very good citizenship around here. And of course, I would like to thank my mom overall. She has been an inspiration, bless her soul, for me. And then again, thank you very much to everybody for making this day for me.
Thank you so much. Our next certificate will be presented by Ralph Giminenti. I hope I pronounced that correctly, or close.
Butchered all the time. Morning, members of the board, CEO Risen, and Mr. Doring. Ralph Giminenti, Undersheriff. The sheriff was unavailable today for the meeting, so I'm here to recognize Deputy Brett Silvera for his 25 years as an adult detention deputy with the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department. Brett's worked various facilities. He's helped with the SAR program. And his current assignment, he's the deputy director of the Stanislaus County Police Activities League, or PAL. His main focus there is marketing and fundraising and promoting the program. He organizes the yearly golf tournament, which helps fund scholarships, field trips, and special events for our youth. The past 3 years, he has led and organized the community brunch serving youth, which is not only benefiting PAL, but benefits other local nonprofit organizations, which it's coming up at September 11th this year. Over the last 3 years, they've raised roughly $150,000. They're averaging somewhere over 1,400 attendees at the last count. So he assisted with the Empire Community Pool Project. He helps with the 30 after school programs. He also helps with the community drop-in program, the Safe Kids program. He's part of the Red Grant Committee to reduce racial and ethnic disparities within our community youth. And he's also headed the Oregon Park Community Project to take the park back for our youth. So, one thing with Brett, he has received high praise for all of his work with the youth in our community by our supporters and from the Sheriff's Department. So I want to thank Brett, congratulate him for his 25 years.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Brent. Thank you. I've had the opportunity to work with Brent on the Oregon Park and various other activities. And it takes a special person to do this type of work in reaching out to young people and helping them solve their challenges. Sometimes they aren't aware of their challenges, so it takes someone with some patience and understanding to reach out and help them along their way. And it takes finances to do that. And all your fundraisers and various subjects we've talked about in various meetings, why it truly is an honor for me to hand you this certificate of 25 years service from the Board of Supervisors. And we just want to say once again, thank you for your service and thank you for you. Would you care to say a few words?
Thank you. And we have gotten to be pretty close in the last year or two working on a bunch of different projects together. So thank you, Supervisor Vito Chiesa, that we go way back since we were young, and all of the County Board of Supervisors. Can't go without thanking my parents, Paul and Ivy LeFoon, who are here. My mom's getting ready to have hip surgery. So making it down here was a chore for her. And then my amazing girlfriend, Geraldine Riley. I can't thank former Sheriff Les Weidman enough for hiring me, seeing, you know, something in me that different than regular law enforcement people normally see. And then obviously current Sheriff Adam Christensen. Everybody has a niche in their life. It's kind of weird that I've been able to find mine through law enforcement. Not very common in our business to find your path without going through the normal structure of law enforcement, which is promoting, sergeant, lieutenant, all that. But to go out in the community and find your niche to make an impact on the community that I love so much here in Stanislaus County, and ultimately to make an impact on the children that are maybe underserved, or maybe they're not, just the children that need that little extra, like Supervisor said. So it's an honor. It's an honor to be here for this long. I couldn't have asked for more. There's nowhere I'd rather live than Stanislaus County. So thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you once again. Anita Patterson will make the next presentation. Annette, pardon me.
Good morning, Chairman Monteith, Board Member CEO Rising, County Council Doring. Annette Patton, Executive Director for Stanislaus Animal Services Agency. It is my great pleasure to recognize and honor Robbie Clifton this morning for 25 years of service with Stanislaus County. He has spent his entire years of service dedicated to animal services. Robbie began his career in 1991 as an admin clerk, and then shortly thereafter was reclassified as an animal services officer, where he remains today. Robbie is the go-to officer. He runs our dispatch unit. He's also the one that will come in to me and say, hey, I just need to give you a heads up. He's also the one that I want out there when we have hoarding situations. He's also the one that was recently out there with our drone situation. He is the one when there's something going out there. I feel very confident when Robbie's out there, and I want him to be out there because I know that it's going to be taken care of with A-plus work. So, Robbie, I just want to say thank you for your 25 years of service. I hope you have many more with Stanislaus County. You represent animal services well, and I always want you here. Today, Robbie doesn't have a family, but he has his animal services family here to recognize and support him. When he's not on the clock, Robbie is very active with his grandson in baseball, basketball, and soccer. Again, I want to say thank you, Robbie, for all your years of service. And I present to you Charles Robbie Clifton.
Congratulations, Robbie.
Thank you.
You know, in your services to the community, I've always wondered how people in trying to resolve or with people's pets, you're dealing with emotion, you're dealing with challenges. Sometimes we don't know who the pet owner is. We have the feral cats and various things of this sort. So once again, I also want to point out It takes a special person to do all of these things. Not everyone can accomplish and be successful in the various professions or duties people take on. And I believe that you have proven that you found your ambition and your special gift in handling that. Or you wouldn't have been here this long. And we want to thank you for your patience. We want to thank you for your services. And it's my pleasure on behalf of Stanislaus County to present to you a 25-year certificate of participation in the county. And again, we just want to say thank you for your services and thank you for you. And may I hand you the mic.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all the supervisors, CEO Stan Risen, my director, my supervisor, Dorothy, our manager, and other members of the Animal Services for being here. Thank you for honoring me. I want to say that I'm really blessed to have a job that I love. I remember Carmen, whenever the job opening came up, I think I pestered her about every 2 weeks for 3 months until we finally had interviews and I got hired. I truly have enjoyed the past 25 years and look forward to the next 25 years. It's also a pleasure to work under a CEO, Stan Risen. He's a man of integrity that I appreciate. And Annette, our director, thank you very much.
Thank you once again. At this time, the Stanislaus Community Foundation would like to present a video, quote, a love letter to Stanislaus County, unquote, Amanda Hughes.
Wow, I feel rather short right now. So first off, I'd like to thank you, the board, for welcoming us here today, as well as CEO Stan Risen. We're very excited to present this video to you today. It is our gift to you and to the residents of Stanislaus County. Before I introduce the video, though, I'd like to welcome our board chair to say a few words on behalf of our community foundation. As well, I'd like to introduce Ben Hoover, who's on our creative team, and he helped produce the video, as well as Sam Pierstorf, who is the writer of the poem today. And I'd also like to acknowledge Craig Lewis, who's our CEO at the Community Foundation.
Good morning. It's great to be able to be here. I'm not the CEO. Marianne Cannon is the CEO of the Stanislaus Community Foundation. I'd also like to introduce Joe Duran, who serves on our board also. And it is great to be here to be able to share this with you. At the heart of the Stanislaus Community Foundation, our mission is improving the quality of life here in Stanislaus County. We're very excited and supportive of the effort of all of you behind Focus on Prevention. And, of course, you have, I think, in your hearts the same goal as what we have at the foundation. And so we have felt that it is time to change the perception that we have of ourselves, let alone from the outside world. And so we'd like to introduce this visual presentation and video, a love letter to Stanislaus County.
Dear Stanislaus, when people see you from across a crowded freeway, smoke swirling from factory chimneys, the rusty bones of old automobiles stacked in scrap yards, mounds of fertilizer and cows gnawing on their hay, it is not love at first sight, or even second. Get out while you can, they say, before the summer sun smothers you, before the fog of winter hangs itself like ghosts in the almond trees. But we are not afraid of you, Stanislaus. We see the beauty in your bare branches that sprout white blossoms in the spring and feed us by the fall. We hear your symphony of sounds echoing in the alleyways downtown, opera, mariachi, jazz, hip-hop. We dance under your blood orange moon, hipsters and homeless, farmers and suits. We eat carne asada at your taco trucks, drink Cabernet from your fields of wine, sleep in the foothills under the Sierra's diamond-studded sky. In the morning, you offer us cappuccinos, carve a smile into the thick foam, and call our names as if we have been friends our whole lives. You bake us bread, and we break it with neighbors in need, black and white, left or right. We know how to eat at the same table, even if we taste with different tongues. Your poetry is awakening, etching light into dark nights as we rise to watch your plays and ballets that bring tears to eyes that once only saw shame in you, Stanislaus, but now they see change in you. You are growing. You are pushing through like seeds beneath hard pan soil. You are shattering every stereotype heaped upon your back, but you worry that you are not strong enough to stand tall on your own. We hear you, Stanislaus, crying out for help in your plain-spoken English, in your Spanish, in the thick accent of your Assyrian mothers and Portuguese grandfathers, and we are listening. We are working in your schools, dusting the cobwebs off young minds, showing them that they can find hope in the pages of great books. We are sweeping your streets for parades on the 4th of July. We are weeding your trails, painting murals on your face to cover the wrinkles of time. We are cleaning your rivers, pruning mistletoe from magnolia trees, building bridges made of hope that arc toward a better tomorrow. You do not have to cry anymore, Stanislaus. Today, we choose to stay by your side because you are family. You taught us as children how to crawl with soil between our toes, and now it's time for us to teach others how to stand up for you in cowboy boots or Buster Browns in high heels or leather Oxfords or on bare, calloused feet. We will learn to walk taller along your great valley floor because we are all Stanislaus, and we are proud to call you home.
So I really want to acknowledge the fact that we have an amazing creative team that helped produce this video. Stanislaus Community Foundation partnered with Sam Pierstorf, a local poet and professor at MJC, who is also a father in our community and a real champion for community impact. And as well as Ben Hoover, who is a product of our local school system, recently graduated from CSU Stanislaus, starting his own media company, and we feel that this video represents our community. And so I'd like to acknowledge our creative team. Thank you so much for producing this film. We think this is a story worth sharing. We think this is our true narrative, and it's something that we all can own together. We can own our successes as well as our problems, but this is something that we think that we need to really push out into the community so we can start owning our story. And we encourage you to share this on your website at the county. We encourage everyone in the room to share it with your friends, because the more people that see this, the more we believe it in ourselves. And it's really going to, I think, change our trajectory in this county. So thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you. Well, thank you for shining the light on what Stanislaus County really stands for, and we greatly appreciate it. And once again, it shows the talent within the community. And thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. At this time, we will now go on to public comments. Anyone wishing to make a comment on any item other than on today's agenda? 5 minutes to expound.
Good morning. It's hard to follow that video, but maybe what I have to say can add to some positive.
Please announce your name for the record, please.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
My name is Rhonda Allen, and I live in Modesto. I am a member of the Homeless Action Council. I'm also a member of the NAMI organization, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And in 2002, the state of California approved a law to provide involuntary outpatient treatment to seriously mentally ill. It is known as Laura's Law. 13 counties in our state have implemented this law successfully. A vote by the County Board of Supervisors is needed to implement this law, and that is why I'm here. I would like to encourage you to research this law and consider implementing it in our county. As you know, the seriously mentally ill are impacting our county in many ways. They are filling up our jails, our hospitals, living under bridges, behind bushes, and costing our county thousands of dollars. And for many of those who are in denial, they are not provided any consistent treatment to recover. The treatment for these individuals is covered, however, by Prop 63 funds. But many are refusing help due to their brain illness. They cannot make these kinds of decisions for themselves. Many are psychotic, delusional, and in denial that they're even sick at all. These people are someone's family member, but their family cannot intervene due to laws that prevent them from involvement in their care. Laura's Law would mandate involuntary care through an assisted outpatient treatment plan while still ensuring their civil rights are met. They can have legal counsel, provide evidence, and so on. Laura's Law is the only community-based path toward getting help for these seriously mentally ill folks who refuse treatment and who cannot help themselves. Counties that have implemented the law have seen a significant reduction in incarcerations and hospitalizations of the mentally ill, and isn't that what we all want? The cost savings are often 2-to-1 for every dollar spent. So the inconvenience of putting a law into place is worth those results. This implementation would fit right in with our county focus on prevention movement for the homeless. Let's not accept that voluntary treatment is the only kind of treatment deserving our attention. Even if we save only a dozen families a year from the chaos of having a loved one suffering from an untreated mental illness, we will still be making a big difference in our community. The health of our city is affected by the sight and the actions of these seriously mentally ill. We want our citizens to feel safe, and we want to know that these folks have a chance of living a more humane life. Recently, this week, I believe they've reported the 2016 point-in-time count for the homeless, and I believe the numbers have risen to 1,728 over 1,408 last year. So obviously, something isn't working. And 45 to 50% is what most reports say are mentally ill of those homeless. That's a lot of people. We can't keep waiting to hope that they'll voluntarily seek help, because many of them never will. We are in the process of hiring a new mental health director. What a perfect opportunity to get our foot in the door with influencing this change in practice for treatment. Not just treatment for those who ask for the help, but providing a treatment plan for all who need it. There is a disconnect right now between our psychiatric hospital and continued care processes. The hospital holds people for a limited 72-hour period, then releases them without any further treatment plan to follow up with them. This is not acceptable because it's an endless cycle that defeats the purpose of care. We need a mandated program that provides outpatient care through a team of clinicians so the individual can stay on a path to recovery and not just temporarily be handled due to a crisis situation. We want to keep people out of crisis and out of jail. That's the idea. I would like to see us bring in a mental health leader from another county who has implemented Laura's Law to educate us and to give us insights in how we can benefit from applying this law here in Stanislaus County. There are several counties who have had very good success, including Nevada County, and I think they'd be willing to come and speak with us, possibly as part of our focus on prevention for the homeless. Would be a good place to do it. Thank you. I do have a letter of my concern with my contact information and some fact sheets about Laura's Law that I'd like to provide you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to make any comments at this time? If not, we will go on, and we'll go on now to the consent calendar. Is there anyone on the board wishing to pull any of the items at this time?
If not, I then will, before the board takes action on the consent calendar, does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? If so, please step forward. If not, I'll bring it back to the board and ask for action.
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. We now will go to B10 and Jill Silva.
Good morning, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doering. Jill Silva, you're county's chief probation officer and chair of the Community Corrections Partnership. It's my privilege to be here today to present you with our 2016 CCP plan. The history and specifics of our realignment is in your packet today. I'm not going to bore you with the details of the history. We are now approaching our sixth year of realignment, and I think most people understand what realignment is about. I mainly want to be here today to highlight some of our achievements. So it's been a productive year for our CCP, and I want to share with you, as I said, not just our accomplishments, but I want to share with you our plans for the upcoming year, as well as our longer-term funding strategy that has been developed by the CCP. Our Community Corrections Partnership has begun to move away from our traditional year-to-year phased approach to addressing our realigned population, and has shifted towards developing longer-term plans and strategies for the system as a whole. We have also put a strong emphasis on increased accountability, evaluating our effectiveness, prevention components, and future exposures. As part of last year's plan, you may recall that we developed goal areas. They include prevention, data assessment, housing, increased efficiency in the public safety system, and to implement effective programs and services. The preliminary objectives related to these goals are also included in your CCP plan. Since the time that we developed that, we have implemented goal champions and subcommittees that have been meeting on a regular basis to develop and implement measurements and action steps to ensure that we are moving in the right direction. I have been very impressed by the dedication of these work groups and the level of work that is coming out of them. As our subcommittees began their work, we discovered that our housing and prevention work groups aligned with work being done by the county's Focus on Prevention initiative. Rather than duplicating our efforts, we are folding these work groups into the Focus on Prevention committees. In the next several months, we will be training our goal champions in the results-based accountability model currently being used by BHRS and the Focus on Prevention initiative to enhance our outcomes and evaluation efforts. I think this is a good direction for us, and in the long run, we will be better able to determine if we are being effective with our plans. During last year, our crime analyst completed a comprehensive review of impacts of Proposition 47 on our county. From this report, we learned that we were starting to see successes in our work as crime rates were on a downward trend following realignment. The chart before you shows this downward trend. And as you can see, following the passage of Proposition 47, these trends have begun to climb back up, although they are not quite yet back up to the pre-realignment levels. From this next chart, you can see that the most increases are occurring in violent crimes. We've included some of the charts from the Prop 47 report in your CCP plan. However, the full report can be accessed on the Probation Department's website. Our crime analyst is now shifting her work towards evaluating recidivism for our offenders that have completed services at our day reporting center. Recently, the CCP adopted a definition of recidivism that is consistent with the statewide definition adopted by the Board of State and Community Corrections. This is important because it allows us to measure our effectiveness and compare our results with other regions using the same definition. And I know this one is probably hard for many people to believe because of the strong partnerships in our county, but this past year we have seen a significant enhancement to our collaboration between probation, sheriff, BHRS, and our community-based organizations with the opening of the Day Reporting Center. We have some great staff that are working together, and they are leading the state in implementing creative, out-of-the-box ideas. With the anticipated opening of our future mental health medical unit and REACT Center, we are positioned well to have a solid continuum of programs and services for offenders in our community. Finally, we were successful in developing a 5-year estimated funding plan to help guide our future. And before going into detail on that long-term plan, I wanted to take a couple of minutes to talk about the 2016 recommended plan. Our plan calls for a continuation of all programs and services that were funded in 2015, with the exception of a couple of programs that are being provided by two of our service providers. Details of our programs and population numbers are included in the plan. I was not going to cover that in the presentation unless you have questions of me at the end. We are recommending increased funding for our community-based organizations, but we will shift to a request for proposal model that will allow for increased accountability and performance measures that align with our long-term goals and objectives. Our two currently funded CBOs, Nirvana Drug and Alcohol Treatment Institute and El Concilio, will continue for the first 6 months of the fiscal year while the RFP is being developed. Then they will transition to the competitive RFP process for any future funding. The RFP process will allow awarding of 18-month to 2-year service contracts. Newly funded items being recommended include a data warehouse project that will significantly improve our ability to collect and analyze data, and a new behavioral health specialist for BHRS to be embedded with field probation officers, similar to positions embedded in our adult detention facilities. We've also included funding to share in the cost of the county's housing and supportive services manager, and we have set aside a 10% contingency for unanticipated costs or changes to the budget. In the upcoming year, we will begin to utilize some of the previously designated set-aside funds for operational costs related to the opening of the newly constructed mental health medical unit. We believe we are recommending a solid plan that can be funded well within our expected revenues. The slide in front of you, I know there's a lot of detail up there, but from it you can see that our expenses, including the contingency, are projected to be a little more than $20.5 million. We anticipate available funding of $22.5 million, which includes a portion of the designated fund balance that was set aside for the opening of the new adult detention facilities. Our 5-year estimated plan was developed at your direction as a tool for planning and decision making related to future budgetary needs of the CCP, primarily because of the significant cost exposures related to the expansion of the jail facilities. We know these facilities not only need to be staffed, but also they will have to have effective programming and treatment if we want positive outcomes. A number of factors were considered in developing our 5-year estimated funding plan. First, we looked at sustaining the current recommended plan over the next 5 years. We projected that salary and benefit costs for county positions will continue to increase, and it's important that we are able to absorb those costs. So we assumed a 6% annual increase over the next 5 years. We also increased annual funding for our community-based organizations and set that amount at $1 million per year. As stated previously, these funds will be distributed through the RFP process and will be tied to our goals and objectives. We also continue to maintain a 10% contingency reserve throughout each year for the 5-year estimated plan. We also considered long-term fiscal impacts of operating the new medical mental health unit and REACT Center. During last board meeting, Ms. Hill Thomas shared with you that a long-term funding strategy had been developed using a phased approach for opening these beds. In coordination with our sheriff's fiscal staff, we developed a plan where the CCP would begin using the $4 million in previously set aside funds over the next 2 to 3 fiscal years. We will provide close to $1.1 million in additional funding in fiscal year 2017-2018 for the REACT Center. This amount will increase to $3 million in fiscal year 2018-2019 and then to $4 million by fiscal year 2019-2020. We are aware that this level of funding will not be sufficient to bring all of the adult facilities to full capacity. An evaluation will need to be done in future years to determine the need for additional beds and availability of additional CCP funds. With the uncertainty and volatility of CCP funding, we took a very conservative approach. Without knowing what will happen in the future, we made the assumption that future growth funds will begin to decline. For simplification purposes, we estimated that growth would decrease 20% every year. The new funding formula developed by the Realignment Allocation Committee is a little complex, but basically how it works is that each county receives a base allocation that was determined based on a number of workload factors. The base percentage that was determined in fiscal year 2015-2016 will be constant for the next 5 years, when it will be reviewed by the RAC committee. If growth funds are available each year, they are distributed based upon a formula that takes into consideration performance factors such as prison avoidance or success on probation. Each year, the total base and total growth for the entire state is combined together and becomes the new base for the subsequent year. It is then distributed using the base percentage that was established back with the 15-16 base. The good thing about the formula is that if a county has a bad year, they are not necessarily penalized going forward, because as I said, what was given to you for 1 year for growth, that goes into the statewide pot and is redistributed based on that original percentage that we get. It is really complex, but one of the things I did want to share with you, we do have at our next CCP a representative from CSAC who is going to be coming and sharing our specific information about how well we did and how our base and growth were determined. And so I think that will be a very meaningful meeting if anyone wants to join us for that. So for simplification purposes, we projected that growth would just be added to our projected base, and that's how we used that projecting our revenue going forward. It basically just gave us an idea. It's really unknown because we don't know how well we are going to perform. Our five-year estimated plan projects that our revenue will exceed our expenses until fiscal year 2018-2019, when we will begin using a small portion of the undesignated fund balance. At the end of fiscal year 2017-2018, we believe that we will have a fund balance of more than $11 million. And I know that that may seem like a significant amount, but I think given the instability of this funding, it really does secure us for a period of time to be able to go forward and continue programs and services if the economy takes a downward turn. So the chart before you is what has kind of happened with our revenue and our projections going forward. Eventually, if there is no growth, we could actually see a decline in the base allocation. So from the chart, you can see where we have declined growth going forward, and eventually if we carried that out at a 20% reduction every year, there would be no growth left. But again, that was a conservative approach. We don't want to count on growth when we don't believe that growth will happen in the future. So going forward, we will continue to monitor our five-year estimated plan and make recommendations for adjustment as needed. We will continue to bring you an annual plan for approval. We're asking you to approve the 2016 plan at this time and provide authorization to sign all of the related documents, contracts, and amendments related to the 2011 public safety realignment. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anyone from the board?
Sure, Jill. I will start here. First, thank you. Thank you very much for what you do here. You know, with Bill, we sit on the CCP with you, and just you've run this thing great. You've done a great job, you know, over the years working on this. I know we were kind of handed this set of cards that we didn't want, and we've taken it and run with it, and you have, and you've just done a great job with it. So I just want to thank you for all you're doing with this. My one question is, and you kind of hit it at the end, is with regard to the reserves. I mean, it really is a big number in reserves. It's almost 50% of our budget we have in reserves. And I appreciate the conservativeness and the approach that we're, you know, that we're using here, and I know how hard it is to project the income. But I guess I'd like us to really, as years go on here, and I know we've got the five-year projection, to really be able to look, and I just think that's too big of a reserve, and it's money we could be putting to use in programs, whatever it needs to be towards the jail, whatever that case may be. But I get it that we need to have that there because of the uncertainty, but I just ask that we continue to kind of take a look at that and to see maybe as we can see more certainty, as we get a better idea down the road, that we can maybe start to drop it. Just such a large 50% of your budget in reserves is a big number. Again, I get why you're doing it, and I appreciate that, but I'd love to see us put that money to work, too, in whatever case we can. So.
Yeah, and if it's okay, I'll just comment on that. I do think that we have some pretty significant exposures going forward. Everybody does their best guesstimating on what operational costs are going to be for the new medical mental health unit for REACT. We've seen this happen with other programs that we've started, with Day Reporting Center, with some of our mental health programs. As time goes on, you realize we don't have enough services and programs. And so I do think that gives us a cushion for the unknown. We did increase the allocations in the five-year plan for those facilities, but my guess is they're probably not going to be enough. We won't know that till we begin to fully occupy all of the facilities. I recently attended a state meeting where I actually heard some representatives from the state say counties should have a good reserve because we just really don't know what's going to happen. And in the event that we begin losing growth and they begin reducing our base allocation, it positions us very well to be able to continue and not just pull the carpet out from underneath us. If it were gone tomorrow, which I don't think it would be, we could operate for 6 months. And that doesn't seem like that long of a period of time when you're dealing with so many offenders. But I agree. I also think that sitting on that large amount annually as we come, it gives us an opportunity to put some money towards some of the things. You know, we've talked about prevention, but we haven't put a lot of money towards prevention. That doesn't mean down the road we might not want to take some of that reserve and use towards that.
Right, and that's so perfect. That's what I was thinking. Just as we every year we're going to look at this thing and right, maybe at some point realize that maybe we don't need these reserves if some certainty starts to come, and then prevention would be a great spot to. Anyway, great job. You're doing a great job. Thanks, too.
Well, I'm going to borrow a phrase from the sheriff. It's a team effort. I think we have a great team in the county, and I know that the five-year plan really was encouraged by our CEO and board, and it forced us to go and take a look at our future exposures. So thank you, though.
Anyone else?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, just want to comment how well I think CCP is doing. Doing a great job. We're kind of transitioning. I'm not sure too many others are putting so much emphasis on the mental health aspect. Sheriff will tell you how much mental health issues are in our jail system, and here we're creating a new unit to do it. Beyond that, when we get into the REACT Center, the SB 1022 project, it's just a whole shift. It's a whole shift of those who we can rehabilitate, we're going to. We're going to have the programs and places to rehabilitate people and get them out of jail for those who are capable and willing to be rehabilitated. Those who aren't will have a nice comfy spot for them, and they'll be incarcerated. But it's a whole shift of trying to improve what we're doing. And that part, I think, is just incredible. So I just want to congratulate that. The other aspect is we're going to need a lot of help from the CBOs. And so this budget and five-year projection has money out there to start increasing the services that we do with our CBOs, which is this very important part of it. So congratulations, great job, and I'm glad to see this five-year projection.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to make comments?
Can I ask on the growth formula, and I know it's very complicated, but one of the components that was key was the recidivism rate, sending people back to state prison. How are we doing on that?
Well, I think we've seen improvements. I don't have specific numbers, and actually I'm hoping that Darby is going to bring us our actual rate and we'll be able to see how well we're doing. State return to state prison is about 20% of the growth. So because of Prop 47, we are sending fewer people to prison. They're just because we don't have the felony offenses. I can tell you originally we saw a decrease from realignment in who we were sending. Kind of there were some differences around second strike offenders going back, and that caused population at the state to go up and commitments from our county to go up. But we began seeing improvements, and then Prop 47 really improved our outcomes. And I'm basing that on the fact that we also received, the probation department receives SB 678 funds based on performance, which has to do with deterrence of offenders going to state prison. Our allocations continue to increase because we're performing well. So it's a good indication we're doing better. I don't have the numbers for you today, though, on our return rate.
But wouldn't all 58 counties have the same benefit from Prop 47?
They would, and that's an excellent point, because part of our success rate for probation is compared from county to county to county, and that's how we get our growth funding. So we're doing very well considering where we were before the, you know, the previous, before the changes to the funding formula.
Okay. Last night there was a Reuben Imperial had presented on the focus on prevention to the city of Houston, of which Probation Chief Silva is a council member. And there was a great term I heard last night that I hadn't heard before, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to coin it. I'm going to steal it from Reuben. But it's that we were highly collaborative in Stanislaus County in our programming, but we weren't coordinated. And when we talk about the coordination and we talk about the CCP and we talk about our day reporting center and everything else, this is going to fold right in. It's going to have to make sense that the collaboration moves all the way through the chain, not just at the bottom end of the chain, and this is going to be important. I think the way our CCP functions is second to none. I'm around that CSAC family all the time, and I still hear the, you know, between the sheriff and the probation chief and the district attorney and public defender, and I walk around on cloud nine thinking that, you know, we've got something special here, which I really believe, and that is largely in part to the, you know, the principals that are that sit on there along with our board members. I do want to touch on one thing about the reserve. I think you have a 10% contingency written in. I like that you're doing long-term planning. That's very important. I think the 6% growth is probably, you know, very conservative. I don't think that we'll see those kind of numbers, the true cost in the county. So I think you'll see your reserve grow. So I'm under the same assumption with the contingency. As we get further through this year, you have to look at programming. Maybe not on the reserve, because I think you need a healthy reserve. There is a ton of uncertainty in this program. I would agree with you. So the reserve doesn't bother me as much as if we get through contingency. Typically, we like to carry that over. Let's, you know, pay attention to that. So thank you very much.
Any other comments?
I just briefly, looking this over, there certainly is a lot of cooperation between the departments in this county. And that's not typical of a lot of counties that I know. So I think that's the reason why we're as successful as we are. This looks like a good, solid plan with the funding we have. I think it's a very doable. And I really do like the idea of having the reserves there, because with the state of California in particular, you just don't know what the future is going to be for funding. Now, I think you've done a very good job. This looks real good. Although, the only thing is, I don't feel that Proposition 47 is anything positive, but it's, to me, it's I think it's a bad proposition that legalizes a lot of crimes or reduces sentences that really should be imposed, but that's what we have to live with. Anyway, this looks like a solid plan. I appreciate all the work you've done, the collaboration with the other departments.
Thank you. Any other comments at this time? If not, I'll open it to the public. Anyone wishing to make comment at this time? If there are none, I'll bring it back to the board. And what is your wish?
Motion to approve.
Okay, I need a second.
I will second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Passed. And thank you very much. We now will go to correspondence.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Now we'll go to the Board of Supervisors reports. Anyone having reports at this time? If there are none, we'll go to the legislative, fiscal, and management report. Chief Executive Officer Stan Risen.
No report this morning.
No reports. In that case, this meeting is adjourned.